don't give a damn if it's 9 a.m. My football team's got me drinking. My football team's got me drinking. My football team's got me drinking.
Back at it again with the Blue Testament crew. Here for another Shades of Blue soccer show. My name is Cody Bradley, and here with me to talk all things soccer in Kansas City is...
Hello, I'm Allie Trost.
Hey, Robert Russert.
Thad Bell.
All right, yes, this is a happy studio tonight.
Yes, we are
still on a high from Saturday night.
Still on that high, feeling very good. Nothing can possibly bring us down.
Nope, I don't...
What do you mean,
anything?
Nothing? The defense is leaky to Amelia can't
boom.
Play.
Oh,
shut
man.
Up,
man. Come on now.
You're
that
trash,
defense is
going to
come around, man. You know it.
That's trash.
We're also in a tie for first place in the conference. Come on, Thad. He's scored as many goals as Atlanta United.
Have you even seen these goals, man? These goals are these beautiful goals everywhere we go, every game.
Look, they can't even find a striker yet. They're
okay.
Still.
We don't even need a striker,
you know
man. This point.
Let
her
not
come
be
on.
Our main focus right now. We have plenty of guys who can
striker.
Score. Like,
everyone
why are we even worried
score.
About that?
If Zuzi
everyone.
Can score, I mean, come
if
on.
If Zuzi can score, then who cares?
Come on, man.
The Joker can score.
This new attacking
Joker,
core
yes.
is
oh,
just
God.
Unstoppable. I don't know that any defense can match it. We're unstoppable.
Yeah, some of the new guys are good, but Croze, they still trying to figure
Croze,
out.
Croze, who cares about Croze?
He's still
Russell,
figuring
shall
things
we?
Out.
We
don't just need him. Come
like,
on.
Like, who cares? Like, we don't
what do you know?
Debbie Downer.
That.
Okay. You guys can see the tension.
Okay.
I don't know. Dad just winked at Cody, and it was weird, so.
He's still sitting here, though.
And I think Cody winked.
I'm surprised he didn't get up and leave. But, okay, we won't do that to you again. I will let you say things during this pod. But we wanted to play off the idea of how everything feels so good right now, but there are a couple of those creeping feelings.
Yeah, well.
Little creeping worries, perhaps, from some of you that we would like to discuss today in this podcast.
I don't want to talk about reality. Come on.
Yeah, let's talk about the good stuff. Let's talk about...
Our football team is fabulous.
We
how about that?
We are unstoppable.
Well, yeah, let's. We're gonna.
Nothing
we're,
could go wrong.
We're gonna talk about all three
Narrator.
Of.
Nothing
everything
can go
went wrong
until it does.
Right. We're going to talk about all three of Thad's concerns here, but first we wanted to jump into the. We're gonna break down the
post game analysis.
The game on Saturday.
Okay,
yes.
Here's a good thing, Thad. Russell didn't break his leg on that first PK.
Oh,
drawing that PK.
My heart, like, everything froze. Well, because I couldn't see the knee. I thought he broke his neck. Maybe that's maybe
yeah,
dramatic,
I mean, his
but
knee,
he did a
when he hits the goalkeeper.
Flip.
Yeah, that could have gone real bad.
I was
bad.
Like, okay, so.
I saved my celebration for that. I saw the PK, but that's what I was focusing on was his motionless body while everyone surrounded him.
But it was funny. Ilya's response when he scored was he just stood there, right? But then when everybody got in his face, he's like, yeah!
Yeah,
he showed a
that
lot
was
of
really
emotion.
Cool.
He was trying to be too cool. It was like when you're like at a party and you don't know anyone there yet and you're trying to be too cool and then your friends show up and you get to like get weird all
there
of a sudden.
Go.
Well, and like with Ilya's goal, the thing I thought was so cool is because he wanted that chance in the one that was called back against New York that Shally drew. But I think we found our PK guy. Perhaps.
And then Zuzi's goal. Come on, guys. I mean, hey, I'm going to shoot it. They give me that much space, too, but I'm not going to have that result.
I have watched that goal on loop like more times than I would like to admit. It was just beautiful from start to finish.
Okay,
from
I love
the
Nate
goal
Bucati,
to
folks.
The goal.
We'll talk more about that later, but you know, he said that Madrona scored a bullet in Chicago. And I was like, no, Zuzi's goal
Zuzi's
was a
goal.
Bullet.
That
was
a bullet.
It was more like a guided missile. Man.
Guided missile, yeah.
Allie and I were in the cauldron for that. And
we were.
I'm pretty sure that one made her a little weak in the knees. I think it made everyone weak in the knees, actually.
16-year-old me, who had like the biggest crush on Zuzi during, like, I think it was the World Cup. I mean.
And then you've got Felipe, who that third goal is just like run-of-the-mill, normal business. This is what I do.
Yeah,
you
no,
know,
it
and
was
he seems
just
to be that guy
usual.
Now. You know,
he just
makes it look simple. I
he
mean,
does.
He just going one way, plays it back the opposite way.
Oh, my goodness.
Everybody's
gracious.
Going to the right. He just plays it back to their left. No problem.
Yeah.
He's a smart cookie.
Which is what, and that's why, if I'm just going to go back to what I said real quick, briefly, that's why I'm not worried about the striker.
Yeah, well.
That's why I'm not worried.
Well, hey, I had to play
He's
devil's
one of the
advocate.
Reasons I'm not worried.
I had to play the devil's advocate here.
So,
the
Cody
rational
MC,
one.
Are we going into that now, or where are we headed?
Yes, let's jump into the first concern that I think a lot of people are thinking about. I'm not necessarily on the boat, but 7 goals conceded in 3 games is it makes last year's impenetrable defense seem like a long time ago, at least.
It was a long
time
ago.
Do we have anyone in the studio who is thoroughly worried about this right now?
Thoroughly worried about it? I'm not thoroughly worried about it. I just see a little passing on, lack of communication going on. If you look at a couple of the goals. But
actually, we asked Peter about it at training today, and he says basically it's just people making mistakes. Well,
it
that's
is.
Kind of obvious.
It is.
Yeah. And, well, another thing that Peter mentioned. Yeah. And I, because he mentioned something in the press conference after the game against.
Chicago?
I just drew
so
a blank.
Talking about this against San Jose?
San Jose. Okay. Wow, you guys. I had a very brutal yoga session
Zuzi
tonight.
Thing,
where, no, I think my brain is mashed potatoes.
That yoga killed her.
Yeah. Let's not talk
literally.
About that. Yeah.
But.
It
no,
wasn't pretty.
After the San Jose game, Vermees mentioned he, of course, getting questions from the press. He's like, well, what do you guys want? He's like, in order to get forward and score goals, it's going to, you know, cause some changes on defense. So I don't know if he meant necessarily that in response to the fact that these mistakes are happening, because I don't see how those two are related. But he did mention that, so maybe they're just still trying to figure things out, and it's guys getting out of position and the, you know, mistakes are resulting from.
I think part of that is, and I may be wrong, just a theory, that I think we are trying to play quicker and we actually have the players who can now.
Yeah.
And the speed of the game is increasing and everything else has to change in response to mm-hmm. that, including your defensive play.
Right.
I think the league is getting stronger and pace of play is faster and your mental decision-making mm-hmm. has to be quicker.
To Ali's point where, you know, you ask, how are those, are they necessarily related? In, at least for a Peter Vermees system, it is all one, you know, one unit, as in the strikers, the first defender, that kind of thing. So it does make sense to me a little bit to see more of a free-flowing offense that gets themselves in more dangerous spots, or there's more people up the field. Rogers farther up the field than we've ever seen him, really, at least compared to last year. And so I think that's playing into it, definitely.
Well, in that vein, the idea of offense is to be unpredictable.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the idea of defense is to be make things predictable. But if our offense is making things more unpredictable, it's more unpredictable for the guys behind them to read what's happening as well. You understand
right.
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So they might be slightly out of position when we're attacking, and we just need to get into that role of, okay, here's where I need to be, and just anticipate a little bit more and organize a little more. But,
and I think that's a really good point, Bob. But to counter that, I don't think all of those goals have been from that unpredictability. It has been from mistakes. It's
yeah,
been
there
from
have
guys
certainly
who
been
have
mistakes.
Been
yeah,
traditionally very solid and made very few mistakes. I mean, that one goal was Zusi trying to clear the ball. I mean, it came in. Zusi had a chance to clear the ball and basically
played
it about 2 feet.
But why was
in.
The guy out wide all by himself? And that was, I was talking about the passing on. If you watch the replay, there are, well, okay, Shaoli doesn't follow his man. That's his man that ends up in the corner. And when they have 4 in the midfield, they're playing a box midfield, one of our forwards has to come back and help our 3 midfielders,
right.
and Shaloui just let him go. And that's the kind of passing on type thing that we're not communicating about. And we had guys who were not marking anybody at that point. And the other goal, the Wondolowski one, Wondolowski just goes right between our 2 defenders who are marking other people, and Ilya, I think, kind of lets him run through.
It's a really good effort from him. Like, it was a great goal
from
Wondolowski.
Great goal.
But
oh, yeah, yeah.
But it was a
that
little too
Cody,
easy.
That Cody may have jinxed.
Hey,
I
didn't jinx it.
Talk
he
about
missed
Wondolowski
that sitter
last week. Oh,
he
well,
did.
Yeah, if he makes that sitter, we're not so happy right now, are we?
And no. Well, that's what I said last week. I said every single time we play him, he misses a sitter. I even mentioned the Belgium miss last week, and he did it again and gave us 2 points because he missed that.
Yeah, well.
But that goal was very good. It was
excellent.
It was just maybe a little too easy for him to get in there. It was one pass really cut the defense apart.
Yeah. But yeah, you're right, Thad. There are many mistakes all over, and they're fixable. That's the good part.
They're fixable, except a lot of them are being made by guys who didn't make those mistakes before. They shouldn't need to be fixable. If they were 21-year-olds like Shaloui, I would say, yeah, that's fixable.
Yeah.
When it's the veterans who have played in World Cups, that's a little less optimistic at that point. Are they making mistakes now because they're slowing down? Are they making mistakes because they're getting slow mentally? Are they? I'm going to go back to what I said.
The pace of play has changed, and we're not changing with it defensively.
I think it all comes back to, you know, just the dynamic of this team just already looks so different from last year, and I think that it's a huge adjustment for the defense because I think the defense is most affected by it. We've always played a little bit more defensively, at least last season, more safe, and now we're kind of being a little craftier up top, making more dangerous runs, getting more guys up, and I think it's an adjustment for the back. And that is not to say that the goals that happened in the box or where someone, you know, slipped up and, you know, totally didn't have their man,
right,
those don't count. I'm talking like what's getting, you know, it's the breakdown right before that happens. That's
but going along the lines of players not playing up to what they were last year, though. The guys up front and changing the speed of play doesn't change things like Tim Melia kicking the ball out of bounds 9 out of 10 times.
Oh, yeah, okay. that is
yeah,
not
that distribution
has been
bad.
Weak. Yeah.
I'm just saying they're all making mistakes.
Everybody in the back five is making mistakes,
yeah,
no matter which ones are in there at what time.
Mm-hmm.
And some of that is because of what you're saying up front. Some of it is because guys are getting stretched out in different spots. All of that comes into play. But they're still making mistakes that they wouldn't have made last year.
Right.
And my thing, the reason I'm not as worried about the defense is, you know, what do you want to do with it right now? Do you want to put in Emiliano Amor over Aiko Parra? You know what I mean?
Were you advocating for that? No.
No, I did see.
And the tables turn on Cody.
I saw. I think it was in our comment section. Somebody did bring up maybe time to rotate in the defense. But it's like, where would you bring him in? Seth had, you know, was a bit rejuvenated the last game. Looked better than he did in ones before that. Zusi obviously came into his own. I don't know who you would change in this defense, and that's why I'm inclined to think that they'll start making more stops here.
That's actually not logical, Cody. I'm not saying we should change anybody because I'm not saying anybody there is better, but just because we're not going to change anybody doesn't mean that they will be better.
Right.
I'm saying I still have confidence in these guys more than I do of anyone on the bench.
So I'm still the one playing devil's advocate here, aren't I?
It's still early in the season,
that
too.
I'm with you there.
I think there's adjustments. I think it'll be fine. I mean, they've done it for years.
My thing is, as long as we're scoring goals, it doesn't matter. Because
it's more fun.
Right now, it's fine.
More fun to win 3-2 or 4-3 than it is to tie 0-0.
Or win 1-0, even. Yeah. Like, I'd rather see the other team score 2 goals and us get 3 than see a game where there's 1 goal scored. And maybe that's me being selfish. But
maybe like a decade ago when we were trying to grow the popularity of MLS more and like America needs that high scoring nonsense, maybe. But I'm inclined to hope more people are, you know, the market is a little more evolved in their soccer consumption that they could appreciate it.
For sure.
I can appreciate a 1-0 game. The margin of error for winning a 3-2 game is a little bit better than a 1-0 game, because then any call goes against you, any one own goal, any one mistake is punished heavily, which we saw that last year quite a few times.
And I'm not saying either that I don't appreciate the 1-0 wins or the, you know, I'm just saying that from the perspective of like the success of this team in the offense, it's nice to see them scoring goals after seeing them miss so many chances and being an actual threat in the offensive third.
So are we ready to talk about the center forward thing or speaking of goal scoring?
I think that gets us there. Who is our striker? I'm inclined to let you talk more, Thad, because we kept cutting you off. Who should be the striker against Colorado?
Crozet. No.
Everyone was like,
I thought he was serious.
No. It's still Shelton is like the lead guy for that right at the moment. Although a lot of people are, you know, obviously down on Diego Rubio for a lot of bad reasons. But Shelton has it at the moment. They are playing fairly well with him in there. So you don't change it unless you need to.
Yeah, that's kind of Peter's way. I think he needs to improve his hold up play a little bit. He needs to use his body a little bit more. I think he needs to think along the quicker lines of Russell and Felipe and Shaoli offensively, but I think he'll get there.
Think quicker.
Yeah, he's the man.
There's one specific, when you mentioned that, there's one specific play I was thinking of where Shaoli, it was after a corner kick, so he was on the right side, and fought back to win the ball from two different guys and quickly fired it into Shelton, who was in the box, and he was there. It went right to his foot, and he wasn't quite ready for it, or didn't quite have the ability to get that back to him or get it back to somebody else. And yeah, I noticed that from Shelton a couple times, that he just doesn't have the timing, or he's not on the same page with them yet.
Did you also notice, though, he had a little bit of fight in him with getting in the face a couple of Santos defenders and things like that. So that was a good sign.
I said something
That's
to Cody after that. I was like, if he's going to be a bull, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Bring. I want more of it.
Hey, I think soccer teams need enforcers just like hockey teams.
Oh, yeah. Oh, of course they do.
Hot take, I'm all for, like, let's have some fights. I know they're not wearing pads, but, like, come on. I think...
Okay, that's a good old soccer almost clearly staged. Let's not get into that point.
Not staged.
Anyway,
well, that was not staged. Sorry. Sheldon getting, you know, angry.
I love a good almost fight in soccer.
Okay, that's fair.
The pushing, not quite pushing, the shoving.
Well, it's not sissy pushing, you know.
That's the thing. The pushing gets real. Everyone knows they can't quite punch. There's a lot of chest puffing out. Almost fights are great.
When's the
man.
Last fight we saw in a Kansas City soccer game?
Yeah.
Mo Johnston days?
Oh no.
I don't know.
Brad Davis and Roger Espinoza, right? When Roger punched Brad Davis?
One punch is not a fight.
We're talking a brawl, Cody.
Well, it's more than an almost fight. By soccer standards, well, how far back are we going? Has there ever been a brawl on the field?
Yeah.
Somebody will, in our comments, remind us.
I'm pretty sure there was some.
If you do, please link a video.
Some brouhaha.
There was Ron Newman going after the other team.
You ever heard that term before, Ellie? Brouhaha?
Yeah, but
brouhaha.
I don't know. Just watching you say it was really funny.
Jimmy Conrad probably has some history on there for us.
Rubio, long way to go back into the fold, probably, huh?
Well,
Shelton's earning his job.
Yeah.
Again, I think Rubio just got cold and lack of confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the victim of playing in the first game,
game against New York when his right wing partner didn't help him.
Yeah.
I still go back to that
the
game.
The odds were against him.
A lot of people were really down on Rubio having not done anything, and the stats show that he didn't.
Yeah.
Do much of anything, but he was trying to do the defensive forward play that is expected of that role.
Right, right.
And then Crozet wasn't. So everything was just going by him.
Yeah,
so
it was
like
haywire.
He was completely disconnected because of the guy next to him.
Well, speaking of Crozet, I think we did see a little bit of him in a more free role with that.
He's
center
next.
Forward.
We're not getting to Crozet yet.
We're not getting to Crozet.
That's the next one. That's the next one. We're still talking about.
Don't go crazy for Crozet.
Okay, I'm not crazy.
Yeah, we're still on the center forward situation here.
Well, okay.
And I'm more, you know, even if Rubio is the hotter hand at the moment, scoring goals for.
Oh, okay.
Swope.
Yeah.
A goal.
One singular goal.
One goal.
Singular. Yeah. Okay.
Don't paint him.
Yeah.
Don't shed a light.
Well, he scored in the. He saw one go in that preseason game, too.
He had a nice assist.
But
and he had a nice assist for Swope Park in the last Swope Park preseason game.
So
he had a couple of goals, I think, in preseason for Sporting.
Yeah.
He's capable of scoring goals. I think he's just going to be like a lot of number nines. He'll be a little streaky.
And I'm fine with it being down for Swope a little longer, even if he is, you know, even after this next game, if Shelton can't score and Rubio puts in two, it's Swope. I'm almost more inclined to just let Rubio go, you know, a month or two down there and really build some confidence up and use the size. We were just talking about Shelton perhaps being an enforcer. That little moment kind of like reminded you like, oh, he is big. Like we have been lacking that on this team.
Yeah.
And so I'm more inclined to want him to stay up here and give Shelton more looks than to quickly bring up Rubio.
And what you just mentioned with Shelton, and that's one of the reasons I'm not worried about the center forward role, is because I think the way that we're attacking right now isn't really dependent on that like
something
singular
marking.
Center forward. And I think what Shelton does a great job of is that he takes up a defender, he requires attention, he's big, he's physical, he's fast. So
he needs to be
more physical, but I'm saying even still, he can hold his own on the ball. He's one of our taller players, he's strong, and you know, he's going to be marked, so that opens up, you know, more opportunities getting forward from our four and five guys who are making runs, whether it be Zusi or Shallowy or Russell.
And so, I totally agree with you, Allie, but there were a couple of moments in the game. I don't know if you saw it, but there's literally a ball in the air going to Shelton, and he kind of ducks under it and tries to run past the defender.
Yeah.
And he's got to, as a center forward, get up in the air and get that ball and knock it down.
I'm not saying that there isn't room for improvement. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's not to say he doesn't need to improve upon like those things, but I'm saying even in all those areas he could improve on, I still think he's posing more of a threat or requiring more attention from other teams than Rubio.
Yeah. Well, I think you hit it there, Bob, with that he might still be adjusting from the wing. There are moments where, you know, we were talking about it being a good thing where an old striker of ours might have just taken the ball and turned and shot it. But Shelton seems to be almost his first instinct is to pass it or to create for someone else is what it looks like to me. There are a couple moments where I felt, you know, he had space behind him to turn and shoot and his – you know, he was very quick to pass, and that's good.
It can hurt, and it can hurt.
That's a fine.
Or it can help. I just combined two words. Yep. But that can be hurtful or it can be helpful. Like, sometimes you want that guy to take the initiative in the box and just hit the ball instead of trying to, you know, play a pass when he's pretty much on the goal line. But, you know, I think, like I said earlier in the Chicago game where, you know, that beautiful play for that fourth goal, like how it went through so many people. Maybe someone like Dom Dwyer would have stopped that in the box, tried to turn and make a shot, and maybe, you know, the opportunity goes away.
Send it 50 feet over the bar is what Dom would have done.
So. Yeah, for sure. So harsh. Now, just I got to add a little bit to this. Sorry.
We're still going. We're not done yet.
Yeah, good, because we're not. I agree that Shelton can play more physical and all that, but the part about him playing wing and trying to adjust, he was originally a center forward.
Yeah, he was.
He was forced to be the winger, so his natural instinct should be the center forward aspect, and not all center forwards are big goal scorers either, because some are creator in role also. But I'm going to throw a different name out there that we haven't talked about for the potential number nine. And that's the Carlton Belmar.
Yes, I was hoping we were getting there.
He's played the center, he's played a wing, and he scored two goals and got two assists in the snowstorm in Reno over the weekend for Swell Park when the original Sporting number nine got one goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
missed.
And he had that Rabona pass as well.
Yeah,
for on Rubio's goal. If you haven't seen that, go to.
Or was that Barry? Was that Haji Berry that got the Rabona pass, or was it Belmar?
Well, in Chad's GIF, he gave it to Belmar. I think when I was watching, I'm pretty sure it was Belmar.
It was one of the two, but either way.
But Berry is very good.
Please
too.
Please feel free to fact check in the comments below.
Yeah, we have computers here. I don't know why. We
just
need
just
to assign.
Did debate. You guys see Zuzi's little accidental flick that he did during the game?
Oh yeah, I did.
Yeah,
it drew a couple oohs and ahs from the ground. Well, while we're on it, that flick was nice. That little kick out was nice. But did you see Shallowy's unfortunate kick out?
Yes.
That the referee apparently didn't see. That San Jose definitely did, and it got a little dusty there for a minute.
Yeah.
But that was not – I don't know how he got away with that. That was a blatant – he straight kicked out at the guy after the play was over. I don't know how he didn't get in trouble for that.
It was as he was crossing the line, so he was out, but it was kind of as he went across the line.
And then so he got nothing on that, and then when he did get the yellow card, it would seem – I don't even think he made contact with the guy he was tackling.
He didn't. They're just trying to say that he was reckless in how he dove in there, because he was. He went into the air, two-footed out. I can see where that's definitely a foul. I can see it being a yellow. I don't think there was any intent for him to hurt anybody or anything like that. He was trying to block the guy clearing the ball out.
If you want
to
go back in the day, that'd be called dangerous play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but see, back in the day, you go back farther, I'm pretty sure that would have been cheered as a good tackle.
At one point, that would have been cheered as a good tackle if he two-footed the guy in the knee.
I mean, yeah,
that would have been English championship right there.
But he only got the ball with his trailing leg, so that studs up foot was not a good thing. But.
He kind of stopped the ball between his legs.
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
I don't know if it hurt.
If we're going off of Chad recently published an article on the Blue Testament, shameless plug for who should play center forward, and the two he has on there that we haven't talked about are Shallowy and Croizet.
Shallowy, no. I mean, he's an option.
It's if
I mean, like Ali was saying, you were saying, Shelton needs to be the man, and we need Rubio getting experience down at Swope Park. Shawley can slide in if we need him to. Crozet can slide in if we need him to in a game, you know, substitute situation. So I think there are plenty of options.
Well, let's just move right on to Crozet. Crozet, damn it, that's a fine. Okay, that's a dollar in the jar. Let's move on.
Which one was wrong?
It's Crozet, right? Crozet. That's $2. That's another fine.
Just say Johan.
Johan is way easier.
We know that.
Yes, I like that. So, yes, in his first two touches, he came in as a center forward, right?
Yeah,
okay, so, yeah, that was a quality transition there.
Well, and there, a little interesting thing that I noticed when he came on, as he came on, Shaloui moved to the middle, and when Johan came in,
instinctually,
he goes, no, you stay. He waved him back over, like, I'm staying here.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming that's what Peter told him to do, but he was like, no, get back over there, Daniel.
Yeah, I don't think Crozet would have been on the field long if he was just going to come on and not follow Vermees' game plan to a T.
Yeah.
But no, I think that is a more free role that he was playing, the center forward. He can do more there. He did some good stuff.
Well, he did, but the first two times I can't even call it the first two touches because the first time, I don't even think he touched the ball. It went directly under his foot, and it was like he was playing soccer for the first time, and it amazes me.
He just got a new pair of legs and was trying them out.
That's what it looked like.
It did not.
But he did have a couple moments. You know, he had a really nice turn and almost won a a PK. Like, honestly, for a second I thought it was, but won a corner kick, and they were definitely
a little speed.
His speed, yes, he's very quick. He's quick.
As Vermees stated this morning, and we were talking to him, he almost had a breakaway, but then the guy nudges him a little bit on the shoulder, and he just gives up. I mean, that to me is pretty telling of, okay, he needs to toughen up. He needs to get, you know, MLS tough here.
I face-palmed on that one in the press box and just looked at Allie like, oh, my God, is this still happening?
Yeah, he's got to adjust. I mean, he has to adjust if he wants to play. Otherwise, he's going to be a spot fill-in guy and playing for Swope.
Yeah.
Or not playing at all.
Or, I was going to say, just...
That's an expensive USL player.
But I want to see him again in that number 9 role.
You do want to.
I do want to.
I
late sub, but we came at 82nd minute, 83rd.
I just want to see him anywhere in the middle.
Yeah.
I don't get why some people are so much better in the middle versus the wing, but some are, and
vice
versa.
You see the game differently,
If he's going to keep up that insane work ethic and hustle that he's got every single play, then get him. Yeah. It's one of those almost like, you know, there were a brief time where Dom was coming off the bench for Bieler, and Dom would come off the bench and everyone on the field would just lose their damn minds because Dom, John, you know, he just runs around as like a crazy person.
Yeah.
I could see that a little of that with Crozet. You know, he comes on, his first instinct is to immediately head towards goal. And
much like Durso.
that's true. I would like to see him off the bench in the central forward role. No. That can be nice.
Watched in practice today. Watched Crozet a little bit. I focused on him, and they had two small sided scrimmages going at one time, and he was on one side with a lot of the other attackers, and he just had he looked more confident. He still wasn't like scoring a ton of goals even in this short sided game, but he just looked to me a little bit more confident. Like, he would get the ball and he would go. And he was, you know, it would touch it maybe a little too far out because it was a small-sided game and keepers, you know, grabbed the ball. But he just, I don't know, he just looked a wee bit more confident today than he has maybe a week ago. So maybe that good play in the game the other day built something and he'll.
So are you're telling listeners who can't see practice that this guy can play the game of soccer? He does have some ability and is showing it in practice a little bit.
He does. He still wasn't perfect by any means, but he was definitely showing that he has that ability. And again, go back to early in preseason and everybody was like, "Oh my God, this guy is like amazing." And then once he went out on the wing, it was like he was no longer even good. So maybe he's just got to get this confidence back. There's so many people are different. Some players need the arm around the shoulder and pat on the back. And I think Bob may have been the one saying that at one point. But
well, yeah, I mean, you look at him compared to like Russell and Gutierrez, who just seems like have seamlessly just fit right into the formation and, you know exactly what they need to be doing. And I mean, yeah, that's, I think said, that first game was just not. I mean, I look at Rubio and I look at Krause, and I just think that, like, they really just took – it was just a bad timing. They were not – I just don't think they were ready for
– And New York was.
And New York was, yes. They were not ready, and the team they played was.
Well, that's that said.
3-0, by the way, that New York team is.
Yeah. And it's really, really, really easy for fans and media to, like, say Sporting played bad in that first game. And it's we can obviously say they weren't great in that game. Mm-hmm. But it's hard for fans to go that the New York team was just better that day.
Yeah.
Maybe in the next meeting they won't be. Mm-hmm. But right now they're on a roll and they're hot and they're
just
playing well.
For that first game, that's a hard team to go up against. A team who is clearly, you know, like you said, they're 3-0 right now. They're on a hot streak. They've just got it figured out. And why did they have it figured out so quickly then? Well, I think we know. We know why, you know, we.
Let's go back to something Thad said about Krause and practice. Taking too many touches, and that's what I'm talking about with the mental quickness. In this way that we're playing, it's a one touch, two touch, unless you're 1v1 type of situation, you know. And you've got to see the game ahead, you got to think ahead, and Krause is just a little back on the learning curve on that, and he'll get there
and be better in tune with the people you're playing to know, you know, where to be sending those balls and where to be looking even. So just the fact that learning curve alone, understanding where each player on the field, where their next move is hard enough on top of the fact that you have to be thinking like what your next move is.
And the less playing time you get, the harder it's to adjust, more difficult. Yeah.
And I mean, that's actually part of the interview with Shelton the other day was he's talking about he's still learning the players around him, like which foot, you know, players want it to their,
exactly.
which
right.
foot they want it to, if they want it to be 3 feet in front of them, they want it to their foot.
Right.
You know, learning when they're leaning to how far they need to play in front of them, all these little things that that everybody's still trying to learn. And and Shelton's used to the league. So for Krause.
So if he's still, if he's even saying that, again, then I can only imagine.
I don't want to give too many excuses to Krause or, you know, to Sporting in that first game because obviously New York had it figured out and other new players come into the league and automatically start playing well within days.
Gutierrez.
But even for like Russell, I don't think he looked good the couple games in preseason. And that first game against New York, he wasn't good. You saw flashes of where he was going to be.
Yeah, an improvement.
And then it showed better in Chicago, and it showed better against San Jose. And, you know, my God, I don't think I'd want to be Colorado right now, knowing that that him and Felipe's coming.
Right.
But at the same time, it is an adjustment. So everybody changes. Everybody's on a different learning curve. And Krause may be a slower learning curve. 10 games in, you know,
like
for
Peter
me
said,
says 10
yeah.
games, 5 to 10 games.
5 to 10 games.
Yeah.
If he's not adjusted by that point,
I trust in PV.
I think he'll be the guy not making the 18.
Another example of that, getting to know your teammates. Sinovic, twice, they played a ball into the left corner of the box for him to run onto, and he didn't. And each player that played on the ball were like, you know, what are you doing? Why aren't you there? So yeah, even he's adjusting, you know, to this type of thing.
Yeah, the one that Felipe played in there was really obvious. Like, I'm just reading into it. What the hell were you not doing?
Sadly, just to be there.
So 10 games in, we will check back and reanalyze. But
we're gonna check in next game.
You messed up my transition, Thad. Come on, we're 3 games in now, and before we break down the 4th game of the season, you were at training today. What did we see from training today besides Krause taking too many touches?
It wasn't as much too many touches as it was like too big a touch, a little bit too big of a touch.
Moving on.
On the injury report last week was Evans and Busio. So Brad, I still smell like Seattle Evans, was playing.
Playing. Okay, good.
Giolanco Busio was playing.
Gianluca, that's a fine. Dollar in the jar. Gianluca Busio.
My pronunciation's
jar.
Right.
Yeah, where is this?
Guys, it's here. Don't mess up the game. There's a jar here.
Cody's and saving it to buy snacks.
We're using Venmo. No, yeah, what are we going to save
Bitcoins?
Up these?
Bitcoins? Yeah, I have the jar.
No Bitcoin.
It's all cryptocurrency.
Buy Ethereum. Buy Ethereum. No, but really, we do need to come up with what we're going to do with this jar of fines because we all keep making mistakes and we're not good at this.
I haven't made a mistake.
Oh, Allie.
That's a fine. I don't like your tone.
Pod foul.
That's a fine right there.
Pod foul.
No, you were fined earlier. You just don't remember it.
You kind of messed up Croze, too, and I'd let that one slide, but okay.
Oh. All right. Well, now the truth comes out, so.
Well, if anyone is listening, let us know. Give us some ideas what we should do with the fine jar for whenever we mess up. Maybe we always talk about getting Facebook ads for the Blue Testament. Maybe we should put them towards upping our social media presence.
I was thinking we should host one of these at a sports bar.
Oh, that'd be cool.
That would be fun. Let's do it.
Thad buying the first round?
No, the tip jar is.
Oh, okay.
So it's going to be like we're at a jazz bar and like playing the piano, except we are just talking soccer, drawing tips.
Yeah, our football team's got us drinking.
Yeah. And Thad said that he will take a tequila shot for the first time in years.
Walk, right?
You said it. We heard it.
That was the name of my softball team in college, Tequila Shots.
Nice.
Yeah.
What position did you play?
Outfield, shortstop, wherever I was needed. I was the
utility man,
team captain, so I filled in where pitched if I needed to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
He just made sure he played.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, where are we at? Anything else from training, Thad?
Is there anything else from training?
Zuzi was refusing to show his hair.
Yeah.
All right, Zuzi
cut his
hair.
He's like, I'm not going to talk to you about my hair.
But yeah. I did see some like Instagram videos someone posted.
Espinoza.
Roger.
Royer.
And it looked like, I don't know why he's hiding it. It looks good.
Okay.
Because
I think he didn't want it to be a story.
Yeah, he didn't want it to be a story. He was... PR was saying, "Hey, somebody wants to talk to you." He's like, "I'm not talking
really
about my hair."
Story? No,
I'm not talking about my hair. He goes,
oh my
"It
God.
Was such quality journalism when they cut Beckerman's hair." And I understand.
He's got a point.
I had people messaging me like, "Get a picture of it. Get a picture of it." And I'm like, "Oh man,
leave him be. Let him just."
Oh, I do have one little tidbit with my interview with Felipe. He played number 9 when he was growing up. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So the fact that he's a goal scorer now is not that big of a surprise.
How long ago growing up?
Until he's like 14. He played number 9.
That's legit. That's legit. He's got the instincts then.
Didn't most professional players play like number 9 growing up until they slowed down and then they moved farther back?
If they never tried you at striker, you weren't very good. If you had any talent, they tried you at striker at some point.
In Chile, though?
I mean,
might be a little different than the United States.
Hell, Beasler and Sinovic were strikers at one point in their life.
Yeah, but that's the U.S. Come on.
And Kevin Ellis, too.
Overland Park, Kansas.
Also, does every kid in America not play striker at one point? I remember growing up, I would like be so up. I would be devastated if I was told I had to go play defense.
I did not play striker at any point.
Okay,
well, an outdoor, an indoor. I mean,
I cried when they put me in goalie one game.
It blew my mind that anyone would ever want to play defense. I thought it was a punishment. You know, it just made no sense to me. It was a different world.
It was.
They're the ones who
they were the special kind.
I liked slide tackling people. I like to take people down and make them cry. So that's why I like defense.
Yeah, I also think I lacked the size for the defensive role.
Well, that's why Felipe eventually moved on, he said.
It's not the size of the alley in the fight. No.
No.
It's the size of the fight.
No, she's not little. She is.
Okay, well, now that we've let this go off of the rails, let's talk about Colorado
should all
game.
Put in the jar.
Colorado, okay.
Let's break down the upcoming match here.
Colorado is number 23 in the power rankings on MLSsoccer.com.
And we know that those are quality.
Yeah. Well, they didn't play this past week. Of course, they were in the CCL, so they got a little break because of that. But
so they've only played one game.
They played two. I see. No, they've only played one.
Wait, yeah, games played one.
Yeah, you're right.
What's going on?
They play a 3-5-2. They lost 2-1 to New England previous weekend. Yeah. They play a 3-5-2, which, you know, if we're going to play a 4-3-3, is going to require a little bit of forwards to help back defensively, perhaps. But, you know, you look at the roster, Cody, and there are really no names that jump out at you. You got that new assignee that they got. They've got,
Gashi.
Who is it? Yeah, Gashi.
Gashi's legit.
Of course,
man.
They got, Thad's favorite goalkeeper in goal.
I was going to say, do they still have that mediocre keeper named Tim?
Tim Howard?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big Tim Power. Some guy named Andrew Dykstra backing him up.
But no, I mean, they are a counterattacking team. I don't know if they'll change at home. This is their first home game. So we're playing another team at their first home game like we did Chicago.
Another home game or a home game for them.
Home
opener,
yeah.
Where Kansas City will probably bring more fans to the game than Colorado did.
Hey, it's supposed to be a beautiful day, though. 75 degrees.
Yeah, better than so, it's hey. Been here.
Yeah. And warm, yeah, warmer that day than it will be here.
But no, they don't seem to offer a whole lot in attack. I believe it was Matt Doyle said they lack ideas in attack. It was his analysis of their first game. So,
well, one thing.
But so did Sporting on the first game.
Yeah, but that was against NYCFC, not New England.
Yeah, that's true.
I forgot where I was going with that.
Well, I'm predicting a 2-1 Sporting victory. That's my call.
Well, I'm going to say, given our scoring prowess up top here lately, I'm going to say a 3-1 win. I'm going to up you.
All right. Cody?
Stupid. I hate these predictions.
Because they're always right.
Did anybody predict 3-2 last weekend? I said
3-1.
I don't
remember.
I said 3-1, but.
I don't even remember what I said.
I don't either. That's exactly what I mean.
Okay, well,
we don't even remember. Why are we
2-1?
Why should our listeners? Why should our listeners care if we don't even remember what
Thad,
we were guessing?
4-3.
Four three.
Another 4-3.
Us?
Because remember, the defense still
us?
Sucks.
I guess I predicted the shutout, which obviously
yes, I think you did. 2-0
didn't go well.
Yeah.
You said Sporting would be shut out?
No. Last week.
No, I was giving. I was putting confidence in our guys.
That worked.
It didn't work.
I know, that was sarcasm.
Man, there was...
Say the opposite, please.
One, I know we've already moved on from this, but and I'm not that down on the defense, but there was one play. It might have been a throw-in. It might have been a corner kick. I'm not sure. But where the ball bounced in the box like 2 times. It made it past 3 defenders and then bounced in the box and then bounced again.
Because I remember after that happened, we both looked at each other and we were like, wait.
It's a cardinal sin to let the ball
bounce once.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let alone
twice,
like,
3 times.
Yeah. It was
once.
Okay.
Twice.
Well, anyway.
3 times a loser. Lady. No.
should we talk about Swope Park in that game?
We should.
We should definitely talk about that.
Let's talk about it.
And the Blizzard game.
And the Blizzard.
Lots of Sporting players on loan down.
Lots of goals.
Lots of goals. 4-3 game. Swope Park scored 5 goals.
Wait, hold on. What about, we talked about earlier, what happened to Busio? What was his injury?
They just said eye injury. I never heard anything more than
eye?
That.
Eye?
Yes.
Okay.
But even late last week, he was training. But he was off doing stuff with Evans on the last day of training or day before the last day of training.
No, yeah, the SPR, man, that's seemingly kind of a potent attack. Barry and Belmar, they look alike running around in the field. It's really hard to like tell them apart from, especially through a blizzard.
Yeah, there's a blizzard filter
on.
Yeah,
I was having a hard time when I went back.
And one's 90, one's 92.
Yes, exactly. I know. I went right to the numbers, and they looked the same. Oh, dang it.
And then they both, in the last goal, they did the Wakanda salute.
They had the exact same one. I know. It really threw me off. It's like they're messing with us.
So, yeah, I wasn't actually sure which one was which there for a minute. But
yes, that was thoroughly entertaining. Quality goals. We got strikers putting the ball away.
On a terrible field.
Yeah.
In the snow.
Which apparently they're very sensitive about the fact they have a terrible field.
Oh, yeah. That was kind of funny.
In the article, the recap of the game, apparently we mentioned that the field was not very good a couple times.
Like,
and
it wasn't even a couple of times. It was like just a very small mention.
I do
stating
think it was
an
like,
obvious fact.
I think it was a couple times. But anyway, their GM or their president or somebody like wrote us saying, we invite you to come inspect it anytime you want.
Like, okay. Can you imagine if we actually followed up on that? And was like, actually, yeah, we would love to come and take a tour of your facilities.
Do we have anybody?
Fly me out to Reno, please.
Yeah, I was going to say, fly me there, or do we have a correspondent already in Reno somewhere?
Put me up at a hotel, take me out to dinner, and give me a tour of the field. In the snow. So,
so
we can make that happen.
according to a couple players who may have actually played in that game, there was problems with that field. Where the transitions were, they said, is where it was really bad. Hmm. Which is where Amir Didic hurt himself. So.
Oh. So it was justified. The complaining was justified if somebody got hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we can complain even more if we would
so
like.
So he was the only one that was not training today. He was training, but with the medical rehab trainers.
We don't play at DC United as a makeshift field, do we?
I hope not.
I hope not, yeah.
I don't know what that.
Because there were complaints about that,
too.
Somebody
should look at the schedule. Well, yeah. But the complaints was about the stadium.
Oh, is that
more
what,
than
the
field
too.
Was good.
Oh,
the DeMarcus Beasley even came back and said the field, the surface
oh, okay.
was fine.
All right.
That's the same surface. That's the same place that the Washington Spirit and the NWSL play.
Oh, okay.
So it's a regular place where they play, but the Spirit draw 5,000 people. And
right.
Can you say that again? What? Where does the Spirit play?
The Washington Spirit?
Washington.
The
Washington
Missouri debate.
With
Missouri.
An R. It's not just Missouri, though. My mom says she's going to wash my clothes.
Yeah.
What is that?
It's a spin.
She's from Pennsylvania. She's not even from here. Like, that's been a lifelong struggle between me and her.
I don't know why somebody in Pennsylvania would say that, but that is a Missouri thing, and
it's funny though because
not ashamed of it.
When someone says that it's spelled like W O R S H I N G, I'm going to go worsh.
Another.
I should make fun of Thad, who takes quite a bit of slack on the show. We love you, Thad.
Yes,
sorry,
you got to.
Speaking of odd things, should we move on to the odd things or funny things we saw at the game this past weekend?
Funniest thing from the sporting weekend.
Yes.
Bob's moving us along here. Bob's got somewhere to go.
I had
apparently.
A debate.
He's moving
with
us
the people
along
around me. And
he's got places to be.
I'm ashamed.
What?
You know when they do the call response, the cauldron says sporting, and the south stand says,
yeah.
I swore it was actually Kansas City, the south end was saying, because it was just drawn out too far. Everybody
so
around
sporting.
Me disagreed. So what I did is I posted on the south stand Facebook page, asked them, what do you actually say? And they're like, why is this a debate? It's clear. We say KC. And I'm like, okay.
So what were you
everybody
hearing?
Else around me is right. I'm wrong.
So you're
Kansas City because
so
the name of the team is Kansas City. Sporting Kansas City.
No, it's KC.
It's Sporting KC.
Yeah, they say KC.
So your funniest
wrong.
Thing of the sporting weekend
is
was,
my embarrassment.
Was that you were wrong?
Is that I was wrong. Yes. So I have to go back shamefully and admit that next week to all the people around me.
At least we're admitting it.
Yeah.
We admit our faults around here.
Actually,
show.
You should tell them to listen to the podcast to find out if you were wrong or right.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Shameless plug, always.
And then there was this woman in line, and oh God, the lines...
We're
outside
horrible.
The stadium. Anyway. But anyway, she had tweezers in her hand and she was overly concerned about her getting wanded and getting caught. And it was, you had to be there. But yeah, tweezers. It was a running joke the rest of the night with me and my company.
That
but
is
yeah.
the strangest thing I've ever heard.
Why?
No, yeah, what anyway. Was, is that the new security is the problem?
I
man,
think
it was,
so.
It was bad.
It's been bad both games.
And then we got in there. I thought, I was like, man, is this going to be a really packed game? I got in there and there was like no one there.
Because it's taking everyone so long to get in.
Yeah, I know the side that my wife and daughter go in, they said there was only two lines open when last year there would be four or
yeah.
five.
Yeah. Well, they were short-staffed too, I think, so.
Well,
I
the main
heard, but yeah.
don't care.
The
don't.
Main entrance by the excuse. Well, it's not the Sprint Plaza anymore. Whatever, on that side of the
Toyota
building.
Toyota Plaza.
Yeah, the Toyota on that side of the building, that's where the press entry is, you know.
Mm, right.
I couldn't even
oh my
get
gosh.
To the gate.
Really?
Like, I had to. I was walking in, like, the bushes and the grass.
Well,
like,
people are so irritated that they've been waiting so long that they look at you like, where do you think you're going?
Yeah.
Like,
they don't want you to sneak in front of them.
Through,
oh, man.
And plus, I'm carrying a bag. Oh,
well,
no.
Yeah, I'm also carrying a tripod, so it's like, I don't know why, if you think I'm just bringing this for leisure, but, like.
Yeah.
All right. Funniest thing for Cody?
My funniest thing was.
We might have the same one.
What was your funniest thing?
Cody and I took a trip to the Cauldron at halftime. I've never really been, so I wanted to just go check it out. And as we're standing there, we hear this like ginormous splash behind us, and some woman on the balcony who's like hammered, just completely didn't even like spill a little bit of beer. Like she spilled her whole beer, and then she like just kept looking at it.
You gotta remember, we're deep into St. Patrick's Day.
At this it's a miracle that this woman even made it to the game.
Yeah, but we turned around and just looked. It's like she didn't even know she had dropped anything.
Yeah, like,
it was bad.
She's like, wait, where's my beer? And everyone's like, it's like all over the floor.
There was a poor couple that got a little splashed with it and had to scoot.
Could have been
inside.
Anyone.
There may have been a few people that were slightly inebriated that day.
Yeah, the cauldron started early in the parade.
Hey, they were loud on TV. Sounded good.
Yeah, the stadium was kind of empty, you know, on the far side, but the cauldron was packed and very loud and inebriated.
The other funniest thing I saw was that Cody dressed as a leprechaun. And I thought he was kidding, but then he showed up in a little vest and a green hat.
Rep the homeland, baby.
With his red hair.
With his red hair. None of you know.
I was working the parade that morning.
Where was the little beard? I mean, that's like the stereotypical, like, the little red beard.
You need to talk to Zuzi. I know. Maybe borrow a little bit of his.
I know. I'll work on that. I'll work on it. But I did look good. I was in my attire. I had a vest on and a bow tie.
Okay.
And a top hat.
Good is subjective. Good is subjective.
Yes, it is.
No, no, no. I looked good. I looked good.
What about that whole Joker thing, though, with Zuzi?
Oh, yes. That's definitely one of the funny things of the weekend. Or is it just terrifying?
Terrifying. Yeah. I didn't see the point.
If you don't know what we're talking about, after Zeus's glorious goal, the animation shown in the stadium was of him doing the Joker clap from The Dark Knight, and it just cut into your soul a little bit. He looked into your soul.
Yeah, it was freaky.
Didn't mind.
God dang it.
Why? What's the point?
What connection does it have to the nice, mild-mannered Graham Zusi who you would feel right at home?
It adds, guys. It adds to the mystery. That's all I'm going to say.
I thought they just pushed the wrong holiday animation or something. That should have been for...
They were like, oh, shoot, where's the one of him doing an Irish jig? We messed up.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That's something I would love to see.
Which
I'm
sure
is
out there.
I'm sure he would literally never
somewhere.
Do.
Halloween
we'll
is
never
right
know.
Next to Irish, we'll yes.
Maybe we'll ask next time we see him.
Thad, what was your funniest thing from the sporting weekend?
Actually, probably one that I could actually relate in public would be from the press conference was the reporter asking Zusi about how long it's been since it's been so long since you scored, how does it feel? And
Zusi
just looked at him like,
geez.
No, he didn't look at him like that. He literally goes, geez.
Vermees kind of laid into him, and then a little bit later he kind of asked it again. Well, like last year you hit the crossbar like four times, and he goes...
Vermees' response was great. Vermees was like, look, guys, Graham's a wing back. When he scores, it's a bonus. And that's like, can we just appreciate it for what it is? A beautiful moment.
You know, he's not supposed to score. He's supposed to stop people from scoring. Yeah. You know, that's kind of the goal here.
It's like, do you think Graham Zusi walks into each game like, I really need to put one in? Like, no. He saw the opportunity.
Well, not with this offense, anyway.
Yeah.
Not with our impeccable.
Yeah, but, and speaking of that, that was my funniest thing from the sporting weekend was on that goal, Shea Salinas, don't know which it is, not going to claim I knew it, so I'm not putting a dollar in the fine jar for that. I didn't know what it was. Salinas, whatever.
Just say Shea.
He was getting torn apart all game by Johnny Russell, all game, just running circles around him, and then was the one defending Zusi on that corner. On the corner of the box, whenever he cuts inside, Shea just decides he's not going to cut inside, and that he's going to stop defending entirely. He fades off, and the ball flies into the net, and he turns around and yells at his teammate.
Hands up in the air.
Please go back and watch this highlight of number six, Shea Salinas. It is unbelievable.
Well, what about the other defender that just fell over when Zusi shot?
There's a guy on the ground.
He had a yoga moment. So he was just doing a yoga pose. I don't know what that was called.
It's almost like he was trying to get out of the way.
I've never seen someone have that much space and like have the option to make more of it to result in a goal like that like in a really long time.
That's the thing we're talking about. He's not thinking about scoring. He's a defender. But
he was honestly probably looking for the next pass and then realized like, oh, they actually let me just walk into the top of the box. I might as well shoot it.
Hey, it takes nothing away from the finish, though.
Nothing away from
on his weak foot.
Yeah.
Oof. When you can put it there, I mean, that's a good shot no matter what, no matter how many people get out of your way. But that was that made the Sporting defense look good.
Well, and he does like the Zusi likes to hang back on those corner kicks for the ball that didn't quite get headed out, cleared far enough for him to take that one-time rocket. So hopefully this will him seeing the ball go in the net from distance like that. He's a defender, but hey, if he's got that in his repertoire.
Well, and I think too with what we're seeing on offense, and maybe we're a little craftier and give us a little bit more option to those wing backs like Zusi, I think we might see some more from him. So maybe we'll no more questions about, hey Zusi, last time you scored. He'll be like, hey, he scored 5 times this season, and that's gonna be a prediction for the season. I know we're couple pods in and a couple games in.
You just
but
said 5. Is that so? That's the over under on. We're setting the over under at Zusi goals this season at 5.
Yeah.
Bob, over under.
I'm calling even.
Over.
Ooh.
Ooh. Okay.
What do you got?
Well, I said 5.
So you're even too.
I'm even with my own bet, I guess.
I'll say under then. Okay. To round us out, and also I do kind of think that.
Gutierrez, what you call there? He's on 3.
Oh my gosh! Oh my gosh! I love it.
So just a point of note too, Felipe Gutierrez with 3 goals, who second in the league for goals scored, but the leading assist guy in the league right now tied, but some guy named Daniel Shalloway.
Yeah, I know.
3 assists from our winger who's supposed to score, and 3 goals from our attacking mid who's supposed to assist. So.
I have that written down, and I was gonna whip it out, and you stole it from me. But right. But yes, that is
I whipped it out first.
That seemed to be kind of
it's a whipping out contest.
Unnoticed. Wow.
Let's stop right there.
Yikes.
Then. That goes in the jar.
Is over.
That's a jar.
Escalated quickly. That's definitely a fine there.
Thanks for tuning in.
Got too sexual. That's definitely a fine.
All right, so Felipe, 12 goals over or under.
Over. Way over. I'm saying like 20.
Oh, whoa.
And he's a quarter of the way there. Yeah, I'll say over on 12. I'll say over 12.
I'll go over on 12. The question is, how many assists will he get?
Okay. Johnny Russell, 12 over or under.
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 But I
no, I'm going to say 12.
Over.
he's sticking strong at 12. That's the number he's hitting.
He'll be a 10-10 guy.
10-10? Russell?
Yeah.
Shall we hit 10-10?
Possibly.
Yeah.
Man, this is a lot of goals we're racking up here. We're going to score a lot of goals this season if everyone hits these numbers.
I tell you what, though. If you count secondary assists, Roger Espinosa would have like 5 right now.
Well, Shallowy got a secondary assist.
Yeah.
One of those assists was...
I mean, he's been playing so many long balls and spraying that ball around to people who eventually assist. He's just been awesome.
And he's going to score, too.
Roger?
I mean,
yeah, he's farther up the field.
Royer.
He'll get one.
Roger?
Royer. Royer.
Russell, too, with that, the foul that drew the PK where,
you
see Shallowy doing that. You see Russell doing that. Like, I feel like we've seen a lot of, like, really great opportunities for, free kicks right outside the box or one PK, but should have been 2. I know we all disagree on that.
Well, we didn't get a whole PK last year, did we?
It didn't feel like it.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
But Johnny Russell has...
I know we got one that Rubio missed. And what game was that? It was like a...
Might not have been.
It might have been one of our only home losses.
I don't know.
In Seattle, maybe? Doesn't matter. What's in the past is in the past.
But no, just our midfield. All 3 guys are very adept at playing those defensive splitting balls and spraying the ball around, and it's just wonderful to see.
Another thing to the whole offense is so good this year, the leading scorer from last year is sitting on the bench.
Yeah.
That's how much better we are.
And we're still early, and this could be completely different in 2 games, but right now it's nice to watch.
No, Peter's set on his lineup. It'll be the same forever.
No, I mean the results. That's what I mean. The production.
Yeah, we are very happy with all these goals in the last couple games, but it could be very, very different in a few games.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah.
One final update on a story I know everyone is following very closely. Tamilia did change jerseys for this game.
Oh, and that was a nice jersey.
It was nice.
I don't know.
Matter of fact, the person I was with was like, they have that for sale. I'm going to go buy one right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good...
I'm not saying he listens and heard us tell him to change.
No, Tim Mealy listens to the podcast. It's very clear now after his kitchen.
Or Kitman does.
It might have been that the other team was white, but, you know, I don't
be.
Know.
Could
no.
be.
No. Yeah. Let it be known that Tim Mealy listens to Shades of Blue religiously. Yeah. He's a loyal listener.
And he wore blue.
And or the Kitman does. Thad, say something prophetic before we leave.
I already did. I brought up the whole Shallowy and Felipe.
No, you're the one that made me think of your. That was your prophetic moment. Was when you said that about Gerso, the scorer from the mm-hmm. offensive player of the year on the
Gerso
bench.
Tonight.
Well, until Thad did.
Until I did, yeah.
Yeah.
So
who starts instead of Shallowy?
Probably Gerso.
I would think so. He's earned it. He's earned it more than Crozet has.
You're too far from the mic.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's earned it more than Crozet has, for sure. So I think Gerso.
Yeah.
That's a fine, by the way.
Oh, sorry.
But it would be interesting to see Crozet in there. So
it would?
It would be interesting. I'm not saying I want that.
he'll come in for Shelton late in the game.
No, I would assume Gerso's the next. I mean, we've had the same three subs for the last two games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I would expect that.
Okay.
I would agree.
Wrapping things up. I think next week we're going to try to do two different pods, maybe a Tuesday and a Thursday, and maybe go a little shorter and maybe have a different format. But yes.
Whoa, Cody
again?
Just threw
Whoa,
that out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, so everyone's like,
yeah.
We have
oh, okay.
not
well,
discussed this.
Well,
but...
I'm Thad. I was looking at Thad. He always has... clips from training that we can use and interviews that we can throw in here, and I think we're going to try to do some of that.
Yeah, I was actually going to try to cut a couple of sound bites out today, but my wife made me run to the store to get paint. So that kind of messed up my
skew.
Yes. So she chose blue and a off-white gray color. So
very nice.
I like that.
Quality details. That was the prophetic moment. That's what I like.
We'll keep you guys posted on the room remodel.
The daughter room color, yes.
I do not plan on painting, though.
And, let it be known.
And I think, did everyone say everyone's going to be there on Thursday? We might all be, all four of us at training.
At training? You too?
Yeah.
Possibly. Oh, okay.
Early
you too,
enough.
Cody?
Huh?
You too?
Yeah, that's before my meeting. I can swing that.
So we just got to make sure we have some
Is
plans
that too many
so
people?
Not, like, overwhelming.
Yeah, really.
We'll coordinate off a...
We're going to try to get someone to do our intro for us. We're going to get a friend of the pod.
Cody is
we will get that done.
Throwing a lot on us right now. So.
Yeah, I didn't tell anyone about
yeah,
that.
We'll
news,
get that done.
I'm thinking
news
on the fly.
To us. All right, well.
Okay.
And
let us know what we can
hour.
do better, do
yeah.
less.
Okay.
What bothers you? What do you love?
Let us know.
Off the island. Kidding.
Let us know if we should continue to not let Thad talk when he tries to be rational. Alright, until next week. Thank you for listening. Go for it.
Got me drinking. My football tank's got me drinking. My football tank's got me drinking. Give me beer or whiskey, wine or gin. Anything to shake, that's what I'm in. My football tank's got me drinking.